Welcome everyone to the podcast. It is Matt here.
Hello, it's Brendan.
How are you doing today, Brendan?
I am delightful. How are you doing?
Wonderful. You know who might not feel so delightful is Apple.
Why?
So, for those who may have not been following this week, we have been, but we saw earlier in the week Spotify take a jab at Apple, and they launched a website called timetoplayfair.com. This was essentially a series of wrongdoings by Apple, and Spotify pretty specifically picked out why they think Apple is essentially anti-competitive. So some examples they gave were Apple charges too high of a fee in their App Store, which is basically 30%. I agree it's high, but everyone pays that fee. Spotify enhancements and customer features have been rejected by Apple in the past. And then they also made the claim, you know, Apple didn't really allow us to serve our Spotify users on other Apple devices for a very long time, including the Apple Watch. So all of this is basically, you know, wrapped up into this claim that Apple is completely unfair. You know, they have this unfair advantage in the market, and they sort of relish in their anti-competitive behavior. And so Spotify went as far to file something with the EU to take real action. I guess before we get into Apple's response, which came out just today, what are your thoughts, Brendan, on just the Apple ecosystem, and has Spotify really been a victim here?
So I don't think you can categorize Spotify as a victim. I mean, they're doing fine.
Yeah, they went public.
Yeah, they're really doing okay. So victimhood is not something that I'm really enjoying with this. You know, is Apple's ecosystem, the vaulted walled garden, a bad thing? And is it anti-competitive? These are the two questions that I think we need to look at here. I think the second one is easier to answer. So is it anti-competitive? No. Want to know how I know that? Android.
Right.
And the Google Play Store. It's not anti-competitive. Now, do we have essentially kind of a dualistic system where the two are running at each other? Sure. Do you have competing app stores that could even come close to the same quality that could run on one native device? No, but that's not really a bad thing. Like, I don't like the fact about this that we take a view of it as, well, I don't get to control my own destiny here. Well, if you want to control your own destiny, Spotify, go make your own phone.
Right.
Make your own phone, make your own hardware, you know, make your own app store, and then go ahead and say, we now control it, and off we go. But they didn't, and they don't. And Apple has a much bigger responsibility than Spotify does by a million miles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have...
Spotify's not the only one, right? I think that's sort of the first...
Yeah, but the same applies to everyone, right, who's making this argument.
So, but this is Apple's first point in their response that they released just this morning, is you are no different, Spotify. You know, one, there are plenty of music apps. You just happen to become the most popular through your great design, your user experience, whatever backdoor deals you had with...
first mover status.
Well, first mover, but the record companies, you know, are the ones who gave Spotify their venture capital funding before they went public. So let's not forget about that.
Sure.
But Apple's saying, Spotify, you are no different than every other app that we charge 30%, that we have to oversee for new enhancements to see if they are actually good or bad things for security reasons or other protections built in for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of cry wolf is the way I'm hearing it. And it shouldn't be ignored. Spotify is the number one app in the Apple Watch store today.
Sure.
So there's also this, you know, as much as you can complain that Apple's hindering your success and the ability to give your customers even more than they get today, I really fall back on what we've heard with sellers on Amazon, with now app, you know, developers in the App Store ecosystem. You wouldn't be alive if this App Store and this, you know, baseline ecosystem didn't exist.
Absolutely.
And so you've built an entire company within someone else's walls.
Absolutely.
You have to play by their rules.
Absolutely. I think that just makes sense. I mean, we can get into the philosophy around this in a bit, but I kind of want to go through Spotify's arguments here point by point, right? So point one, Apple charges a discriminatory tax, requires that certain apps pay a 30% fee for the use of their in-app purchase system, as is their prerogative. However, the reality is that the rules are not applied evenly across the board. Does Apple Music pay it? No. Well, what? How does that work from an economic standpoint? I will take money out of my right pocket and put it into my left pocket. Like, yeah. I don't really understand it. Then they say, does Uber pay it? Does Deliveroo pay it? No, no. But they're a different type of service. Two, a 30% fee to participate in someone's marketplace is pretty standard, and it's not that crazy.
It was lower at one time, but I'm not surprised. I agree. If that's the fee that gets you access to hundreds of millions of people who have iPhones,
yeah,
so be it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, how else are you going to get customers?
You can't.
So
you simply can't. And what does it mean for Spotify? They do a 30% markup.
Yeah.
If
they did.
If your product
they
is,
did.
Yeah, I know. If your product is valuable enough, people will pay it. So what I really don't understand about this is like the tech companies, Spotify in particular, saying, well, we shouldn't have to play by the same mechanisms of traditional supply chain. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Everyone has since the Industrial Revolution. Like, you put percentage markups on your baseline product to cover the supply chain costs from manufacturing out to the marketplace that it gets sold on. It's the same thing that's going on here. So I this feels much more like a entitled, like, I don't want to have to play by standard economic rules stuff. And Apple, by the way, should not be allowed to make money on the benefits and the services in the marketplace that they're providing to turn you guys into millionaires. Yeah. Like, what are you saying?
Right. It's also a very U.S. and European focus, this claim. And it's as if Spotify's forgot that iOS is not the number one system used across mobile in the world.
Apple is a premium company. People who own Apple devices spend money.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Like, I bet you their revenue on a percentage basis is well over half from Apple users, if not more.
Yeah.
So I think it's less to do with the fragmentation problem is so difficult to deal with, which, as a sometimes former developer, it's really not that bad.
Yeah.
I think this has got a whole lot more to do with this market segment, the Apple user base, gets us the majority of our money, and we want more of it.
Mm.
So screw your rules.
Right. Yeah.
Which is not cool.
And we haven't seen a lot of other...
Cool. I mean, like, think of it this way.
Yeah.
I have decided that I'm going to go and open up a shawarma selling shop or something like that, right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk in to a grocery store, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to sell them inside the grocery store. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not paying you rent for your space, and I'm not going to pay you for the inconvenience of the resources I'm sucking up from you.
Yeah.
I'm just doing this. And when you turn around and tell me you can't, like, this is our market where we sell our food and we pay for the utilities to keep the lights on, and we're the ones who are bringing the people in here in the first place so that they're aware of what they can get from you, you turn around and say, well, screw you. I just deserve this through fiat. Like, dude, no.
Right, yeah.
Just simply no. I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't.
Spotify also is playing in an incredibly tough space to innovate in and be successful in. So I think there's a good reason we haven't seen anything other than Spotify really emerge as that number one music app that wasn't part of Google or Apple or some sort of native deployment, because music licensing sucks. It is so hard to make a profit in that business. So going back to what I mentioned earlier, you know, Sony, BMG, Capitol Records, these big record companies funded Spotify to get going, knowing they could cut the right deal with them. And there was this inflection point where Spotify was both a opportunity and a threat to these record companies. They almost, you know, they hedged their bet in a way, say, the Napster stuff happened, everyone has an iPhone now, streaming, downloading, uploading, seeding, all that stuff. We are losing millions to, you know, illegal downloads. And this shift was, it was going to happen no matter what, whether it's people listening through YouTube or going to the old LimeWire days and downloading things. We were moving this way.
Well, the iTunes
and
store.
So it's actually, you know, commendable that these record companies said, you know what, we can't sit on our hands forever and just watch our business go away. We have to go play ball with the number one streaming app in the world, which is Spotify. They fund them, they go public, they cash out, they're happy. Now there's more for them to do, but let's, you know, this argument from Spotify is, you know, our overhead is really tough and music licensing is really tough. No. You've had that expertise in your back pocket since day one.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. So let's go to point two. Apple won't let us share Spotify deals we know that you would love. Oh, you poor people, you. If we choose not to use the in-app payment option in iOS, Apple in return bars us from communicating directly with our customers who access Spotify via Apple platforms. They won't let us share awesome deals and promotions. And we aren't just talking about what we are allowed to do on the app. Worse yet, they don't let us email offers after you register your account, claiming that we are circumventing their rules. So, this feels kind of high level to me, and I've got two tracks of thought. One is, my immediate impression was, well, you don't need to do in-app kind of notification stuff, which I don't really understand, because I see in-app notifications coming all the time around, like, hey, here's a thing, or here's a deal, or here's a news story, or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know what the rules are there. But then I was like, well, just email them. Apple may be barring people from emailing because of the security and privacy constraints that they've got around the App Store to begin with. So this is the same thing that we're seeing. This is the same thing that we're seeing as far as, like, the closed behind doors fight around the upcoming Apple News and Magazine service, which is, we're going to put a marketplace out there. We're going to give you 50% of the cumulative kind of subscriptions. We're going to keep 50%, and we're going to give you no user data.
Yeah.
It's an interesting stance to take. I mean, I think
they're remaining neutral, though. They've always been that
way.
Well,
yeah, no, I know. And they're like, tripling down on the whole, we're your security and privacy friends, and we're going to keep everything about you secret, which I appreciate on a certain level. I think if I was on the other side of that coin, I might be a little bit pissed off about it. Like,
oh, yeah.
We've had direct relationships with our consumers forever, and now we don't. And this is business 101 stuff. Like, you grow your company by having direct relationships with your consumers. So if the rules are you can't have this direct communication, that's a bit of a problem.
Mm.
It's a bit of a problem. There may be something around this one that I need to think through a bit further. This feels a little bit more legitimate than we should just have our own marketplace with free rules and kind of 1960s love fest. But
sure,
there's something to this.
Yeah, next one.
Apple doesn't allow you to upgrade to Spotify Premium with ease.
Right.
Okay.
So this is the justification Spotify's giving for really the need to charge more for the premium users in the U.S. I think is it $10 or $13 a month now? I gotta say, level set. I love Spotify. I love all the features. I was a big proponent of Google Play Music for a while before I moved to Spotify. Which I found just easier to share with friends, you know, from a social aspect, easier to, just more of those, like, quick action buttons in the phone go a long way. So I have no problem with it, but I blindly pay that monthly price because I get a lot out of it.
Sure.
Right? So the claim that the consumer's losing out because premium service had to be increased in price, the hit really isn't that heavy for me.
Yeah, I don't think that's the claim that they're making here right now.
It might have been further down the list. But
the claim,
yeah.
This is the in-app upgrade thing. Mm-hmm. And this is like what Amazon Kindle has gone through forever.
Yeah.
I can't buy a book inside the app, so I have to bounce out and go to Safari and buy it there, then bounce back in, and then boom, yay, it shows up. It's annoying, no doubt, but I kind of understand why Apple's doing it. What I find disingenuous about what they're saying here is they bar us from having the option in the app, instead forcing users to take multiple steps of going to a browser. Some of our users don't even have a desktop. What?
No, I think that's fair.
Well, how is that fair? Close the App Store, open Safari, go to the thing, do it, close Safari, open back up the app.
I think the point is just the experience is incredibly, like, tough and
yeah,
and
but the specific
manual
point that they're making is that he's a cry wolf point.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. The sky's falling. It's not really falling.
But I guess I was just agreeing with there are a ton of users who don't have a desktop. I can totally see that. But I do question how many of them are paying for Spotify if they don't have a desktop. Probably not many.
So the point they were trying to make by saying that they don't have a desktop thing was they have no way to sign up for premium.
Right, right.
Which is bullshit because, like, just flip to the other app on your phone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. But use your work computer. I don't know.
Yeah. I just don't like the tone of this. Number four, Apple rejects our app enhancements. Really?
They reject a lot of enhancements every day from thousands of... Apple specifically called out a number, something like 200 to 300 update approvals of Spotify in the last, 5 years, 10 years. I don't really think that number matters. I think if you're Spotify, it matters which specific new features are being approved or rejected. Because if you put a lot of time and effort as a company into a new feature, and then Apple flat out says no, I think what you end up doing is working that system, again, playing ball in the ecosystem to realize we need to test the waters and maybe do a pilot or a beta version of this. And if Apple rejects it, move on.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
But they're crying wolf, again, of like...
They totally are. They
reject our app updates. Like, they reject everyone's for thousands of different reasons.
There are so many reasons to reject the app. There could be security holes. There could be compatibility issues. There could be, just kind of the way that they set up the UI criteria. Like, there's a zillion different variations as to why, but Apple rejecting it because their app doesn't fit in with either their systems architecture or their security architecture are valid reasons, to my mind, to say no.
And that's a general statement, and it applies to everyone.
It applies to everyone, universally. Right. You buy an Apple product for the whole it just works thing, and a large portion of the why it just works is because the App Store, which distributes these things, goes through a ton of work to make sure that they are safe, that they will work with the devices properly, and that it will be a seamless user experience. It won't crash every 7 seconds. Like... And you said this on an earlier pod. The reason you went away from using an Android phone to using an Apple phone is because the Google Play Store is a dumpster fire of shit that doesn't work the right way.
And a ton of security holes that we've seen.
And the phone just falls over every now and then for no reason. It's like,
I'm just going to kill myself and reset.
There is a very good reason that Apple goes through this. And there is no good reason that Spotify is sitting here and saying, it's the end of the day.
What I'm hearing, and that's a great point, is that Spotify's customer is actually winning here because Apple is forcing their hand to maximize that experience and that, good feeling of security and protection.
Absolutely.
That should not be understated.
Absolutely. No, hit it on the head. And the last point from these whining Europeans. Apple won't let you access Spotify on all your devices. We're about ubiquity. Fine. Spotify is lucky to be available for fans around the world on nearly every other speaker except Apple's. Apple won't allow us to be on your HomePod, and they won't allow us to connect to Siri, and don't forget about the Apple Watch, and we're ready to be on your devices, limiting your experience and choice.
Before you comment there, Apple's response was, we have reached out to Spotify on the Siri and AirPlay 2 support initiative specifically, but Spotify has not taken action.
Good on Apple there.
Okay, so...
By the way, I have a Spotify app on my watch.
You do?
That streams music. I don't have a HomePod.
Okay. I'm not sure people who have a HomePod are...
But this isn't just Siri. Not Siri. This isn't just Spotify is happening to. Yeah. Like,
and we've talked about this, I think.
I'll slap a HomePod down, and I can't be like, hey, play YouTube music, play Google music, play anything.
Yeah.
Like, and this is not really unique. Like, all the smart speaker folk have done this at some point.
Yeah.
And it's evolved from there. Like, when you build a product... You build with your native capabilities first because it's what you know. You want to ship it so that you don't waste additional business cycles on something that has no value.
Mm-hmm.
And then you improve on it from there, which would, to my mind, allow for enhanced third-party integration of things, as Apple has stated that they will do.
Yeah. It sells the phone.
It sells the phone.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I don't buy this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't buy a whole lot of the things that Spotify is saying here.
Yeah. I think I want to put a pin in it right there, and then we can maybe discuss a more political motive here. So I guess if I was to wrap this up in one quote, I'll take it from one of my favorite TV shows, The Wire. The game is rigged, but you cannot lose if you do not play.
Sure.
I'm not sure the game is even rigged, but hey, Spotify, you can't lose if you do not play.
Can't win if you don't play out of it.
That is also from that same scene. That is the counter. So, okay.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Because there's just a couple points in Apple's rebuttal that I think are phenomenal.
Sure.
So, in a decade since the App Store has opened, it's helped create millions of jobs and generated more than $120 billion for developers and created entire new industries and businesses. That is a global civilizational good that has been done through this. And these whiny little music streaming bitches don't even understand what the overall impact is here to moving humanity forward.
Right.
I'm pissed about that. It just irks me.
I mean, I think Spotify gets it. There's just this... If you can make this anti-competitive argument and... get press in the headlines, the time is right to do so. Maybe I'm getting towards like the political motives.
You're going where I'm
going
to go with this.
Yeah, let's finish up on the Apple response.
Yeah. So let's see. At its core, the App Store is a safe, secure platform where users can have faith that the apps they discover and the transactions that they make are safe.
Check.
Done. Exactly what we talked about before. Fully agree. That's how it should be, and we want more app businesses to thrive, including the ones that compete with aspects of our own business because they drive us to innovate and be better. Yes.
I don't use Apple Music, I use Spotify.
I do, and it's fine.
You use Apple Music?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Right.
But I think...
They can coexist.
Well, so this is an interesting point that they bring up there, is I think people look at the... we should have more people playing in the market thing as at the very top level, and they're not looking at a lot of the stuff that's baked into that. So entrants coming into Apple's ecosystem, developing competing products, pushes them to innovate and be better in their own product set. It's not just an umbrella thing. It's not like, oh, Google and Apple competing... It's like, no, what are the fields that they're competing on?
Yeah.
Like, the AI stuff we talked about before. Assistant being better makes Siri better.
But, Brendan, it's all fronts, right? We have seen it play out in the hardware game,
sure.
Where I feel like every year, you know, Apple launches the Notch. What does the Pixel have? A Notch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably this year we'll see a better AI behind the photo processing in Apple now that Google solved for that one last year.
Sure.
It goes back and forth.
Sure.
It's in music, it's in the App Store, it's in the hardware. This is a technology race we love.
We love it, and it's fundamentally transformed our world for the better in a decade.
Yeah, it's only been 10 years.
It's been 10 years since the first iPhone was released. The world doesn't look the same.
It's a good gut check to always bring up that figure.
Yeah, man. We want the model we have right now to continue driving leaps and bounds innovation between these major tech companies. And you know what? I can continue reading the Apple stuff, but it's topical. We're clearly falling into the what did Elizabeth Warren say at South by Southwest conversation with this.
Yeah.
And if anyone hasn't heard and you've been living under a rock, she basically came in and said, time to break them up, guys. It's like it was Standard Oil back in the day. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? Oh, it's anti-competitive. You can't own both the platform and then sell on the platform and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all this just kind of wacky stuff. I get some of what she's driving at as far as we want to ensure that there is an animated marketplace where people can thrive and start new businesses and mm-hmm. have innovations and yada, yada, yada. But I think we've got the most animated entrepreneurial market that has ever existed on planet Earth, bar none. You've got more startups that are starting. You've got more that are being acquired. You've got more that are failing. You've got everything at scale. And I think it's a net positive. And I think a lot of that, especially in the high-tech space, is being driven by the rapacious need for innovation that the Googles and the Apples and the Amazons of the world have.
Yeah.
And I think that piece of the conversation has been completely left out of this. I think if you break up the way that this thing is currently running, you're going to see a dramatic dampening and slowdown of our overall pace of technological and human kind of innovation and evolution.
I would agree.
I think that's bad.
I would agree. And I think Apple's actually left off in that speech.
They were until Neelai Patel of The Verge interviewed her after, and he was like, well, what about Apple? And she went, yep.
Oh, no.
And he was like, yep, what? She's
just
like,
throw them on one bucket.
She's like, you're gonna break up Apple too? She's like, yep.
Okay.
We're gonna do that.
I didn't know there was a follow-up there.
Yeah, the basic argument was, they can make the hardware, that's fine.
Yeah.
They can make the OS, that's fine. But they can't then run the App Store and sell their stuff in the App Store. Basically, they can't have any native first-party apps.
Yeah.
And it's how I was reading that, which is bonkers. Bonkers. Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like, the EU tried to do this with Google before,
mm-hmm.
where they were like, listen, guys, You can't bundle any of Google apps with Android going forward here. Picture that, if you will, for a moment. Like, oh, okay, cool. No Google Maps for anybody in the EU.
Luck.
See how that goes.
Yeah, like Gmail.
Like, oh, okay, we're just going to, like, draw the blind on civilization here. Whoop, sorry,
yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
This is just, it's fear-mongering, it is political opportunism, and it's gross. I don't like it.
There's a big difference between what GDPR was in the EU and what I think Elizabeth Warren thinks GDPR and that sort of like basic human right to information and security and choice needs to be. And like you said, it's really not about some of these companies being too big. We all agree they're too big. That no one is questioning that, but they have gotten to be too big because they actually provide wonderful, wonderful baseline needs for new entrepreneurs. I mean, just thinking about cloud, if we just think about cloud for a minute, how cheap is cloud storage now for a kid in a garage who has no money to start his company? It's pretty damn cheap.
So I'm actually...
Thank you, Amazon and Google,
right? I actually disagree that nobody agrees that they're not too big. I don't think they're too big.
I think to
the benefits that we get out of the economies of scale, to exactly the last point you just made around storage and security and scalability mm-hmm. and innovation labs and yada, yada, yada down the list, like, all of that stuff cannot happen unless you are in, especially at a global scale like we're talking about now, in a secure position to allow you to do those things. If I'm running a startup somewhere, I'm not giving you what Microsoft is giving you.
Right.
Right? Because I'm fighting for my lunch to stay alive every day. Microsoft doesn't have that problem. They have the opportunity to innovate and make the lives of businesses and people better. Same for Google, same for Apple, same for Amazon, same for all of them. I think it's missing the forest of the trees.
Yeah, it's just a fundamental misunderstanding of what is actually happening. But most people don't do that check of what does this mean for the greater good of society. When I go home, let's say I'm not in tech. Let's say I'm driving home, and every time on the radio or on the news at night, we hear about another acquisition by Amazon, Google, Apple, another reason they're in the news because there's some sort of like security scare or some sort of like GDPR, effort in the UK that's going after them, trying to take them down. I think it's all a lot of noise because those people aren't really, it's actually really ironic. They're probably reading this news on their phone and saying, oh my God, I can't believe they do that. I can't believe Facebook would steal all this information from teenagers. I can't believe, it's like, man, you are in the Facebook app, they're reading this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's they need to realize how far we've come. And if you really, really do have a problem with that big company, get away from it. I know it's not easy to get away from it, but use Facebook. I don't have a Facebook anymore.
You have user choice.
Yeah.
Like, you can absolutely do that. But, to a few of the other points that you made there, and one that's swirling in my head right now. Oh, God, they just acquired somebody else. Good. They acquired a person who's got the skill set to be a successful entrepreneur, start and build a business, gain share, change the world, sell it off. You know what that means? That guy's going to go off and make another business and hire more people to do the same thing all over again. Yeah. It's the innovation engine. That's what keeps things running. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. The second thing is, the people who are out there who are actually actively crying for some of this stuff, have you ever been in tech? Do you know how hard it is to set up a highly redundant server farm that's going to, feed a global population? Like, the things that they're talking about doing in unwinding, I don't think fundamentally can be unwound, and I really don't think should be. Yeah. Really don't. I'm sorry. I'm going to shut down Google Drive. You now need to go and get out your old zip disks from the late 90s and carry around all of your shit on there from now on. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Go and set up a SAN array in your house. That's where you're going to keep all your stuff from now on. Like, it's just fundamental lunacy.
It's also...
It breaks society, it breaks business, it breaks tech. Done.
The education piece, I think, is also understated and kind of ignored. I would think someone like Elizabeth Warren or other politicians are obviously going to run on a platform of equal opportunity for education, across the world, really. And I think we've seen Apple and Google specifically just put a ton of time, effort, and money into making things like a Chromebook just super, super easy for like a fifth grader to start working in a Word document, exploring the internet, going on Wikipedia and learning, or Apple was always that golden standard in the classroom. When I was growing up, we went from the big Macintosh desktops to the, what they called iBooks at that time.
Yeah.
And they had the little charging rack and everything. And, but as someone in middle school, really appreciated the, although like, tempered, security, kid-friendly version of Apple that was running the classroom, there was still a ton to play around in there. And I didn't have a computer yet. So I thought it was amazing that I could type up a Word document, I could go in a presentation builder, build shapes, build things, go, start drawing, build GarageBand, right? How impactful is GarageBand? So I think that's just another aspect I'd like to point out. In addition to all the entrepreneurial stuff, there are so many other societal benefits like education that are kind of being ignored in the, just in the narrative of, we must break up big tech, they're evil.
Totally. Yeah. So, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
All right. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hopefully that gave you some insight into the Spotify versus Apple war that is sort of unfolding here.
Yeah, I don't think it's a war, man.
Not so much a war.
Spotify can't win this.
But I think just kind of helping us frame up changes we're seeing in not only music applications, but maybe how we'll see things change out, maybe even politically, when it comes to big tech, privacy, protection of information, things of that nature, moving forward.
Totally. So,
awesome.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See you guys. We'll be right back.